What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town, episode 35. I'm your host, Shaman V, and I got my co-host here, Trump, each and every week. How's it going, Trump?
Hello. All
right. And we got two special guests today, and they decided to dress the same today, so color coordinate. Not sure why, but we're going to find out. But we got Ecop and Nimch here. Welcome to the show, guys.
Such mystery. Much well.
Such mystery. I get hyped.
Oh, man.
Man, so lots of good excitement. Stuff to talk about. Of course, these guys got an announcement, which you guys have probably seen on Reddit. Really great news for these guys. So we'll talk a little bit about the Cloud9 announcement. And then Noxramas got some leaked cards that we haven't talked about yet on the show. So we'll get everybody's opinions on those. A little bit talk on the current metagame, see if anything's changed in the last week. And then a couple events that are going to be happening this weekend. The Millennium's doing an event over in France, and then WellPlay.org is going to be doing something. And I think a few of us are going to be involved with each of them, so we'll talk about that a little bit. Then we'll do some Q&A at the end. There's no Reddit thread, unfortunately, today, but we'll try to take some questions from the chat. Hopefully, chat will be in a state where we can actually take questions. If not, then we'll have to figure out what we do. But we'll try to take as many questions as we can. So, all right, guys, let's start off with some big announcement from Ecop Nimsh, as well as others, including Kalento, Hafu, and Strifecrow. But Cloud9 is endeavoring into Hearthstone. Cloud9, for those of you that don't know, huge NA team, particularly for League of Legends. They're obviously kind of getting into this space, and they're starting off with a pretty sick team. Pulling on Doggy House, or the majority of Doggy House, and then again Hafu and Kalento. So that is a, man, crazy team. First off, I want to get your general thoughts on it, and then we'll get some background as to like how it all happened. So how you guys feeling about the whole thing?
Ecop, maybe. How do you feel about it?
I feel awesome. I mean, I've been waiting for this moment so long, so like until we could finally announce it. And I mean, we were patient. Doggy House was pretty much patiently waiting for the perfect opportunity to strike onto the competitive esports scene. And now the time has come. We got picked up by Cloud9. And yeah, I mean, we don't accept anything less than the best, and Cloud9 is the best team. So there you go.
All right.
Pretty pumped.
There you go. Nimsh, how about you?
Oh, man, I'm so happy. Like, it's... Well, I really enjoy the fact that we are getting five people at the same time instead of like being picked one by one as other teams do it, because we'll have a clear team structure. Also, like being based originating from Doggy House, where we already had this like cooperation injected in, you know, between us. So it's we were playing with Strikecrow for a long time, like thinking about this opportunity. So we bonded together. Kalento joined us recently and played with us in the Take TV. Like, he was no Doggy House, but he was still on Monogrind. And he actually is still on Monogrind till the end of this month. But he was playing with us. We were communicating. And we were always good friends with Hafu as well. So I'm super excited by the exact order in this team and the people that we have. So super hyped.
Yeah. Trump, any comments to these guys, I guess, about the announcement? What do you think of it? What is your take on this whole thing?
A big congratulations to Ecop, Nimsh, and the others, like some of my favorite players on that team. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are a lot of highly skilled players, so looks like a team to watch out for.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'm particularly surprised about Hafu. You know, Hafu joining a team is a, you know, really a big step into her, I guess, committing to competitive play more so than more of the entertainment type of side, you know, which she's been like a full-time streamer and that sort of thing. So that's going to be really cool too, because I've been wanting Hafu to, you know, to really step it up and go to some of these huge tournaments and potentially do well. So it's cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, Hafu was really looking forward to have an opportunity to go into the competitive scene, because she also has a competitive background. Like,
oh, yeah.
She's playing World of Warcraft and Bloodline Champions, if I'm not
mistaken. She's a world champ. Yeah.
So definitely. I mean, she really wanted to have a team. And when Cloud9 approached Hafu about the opportunity to play with us, she was really excited to join and to be with us, as well as us. Like, we were really excited to be with Hafu on the team and to play together. I think it's a great opportunity to grow together as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've always seen Hafu as a player with a big potential. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she has a very competitive mindset. whenever she like sets her mind to the game, I guess.
And oh yeah, no doubt.
She learns. She really learns it by heart and like becomes good at it. So I mean, yeah, she really became force to be reckoned with during the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we now have to see some results from her in tournaments, I guess.
Yeah, well, we get a chance to see her in tournaments, which is going to be awesome. You know, that I think that's going to be really, really cool. So let's talk about, I guess, how this all happened. You know, again, you guys said you guys were waiting, and I'm sure a lot of teams probably were approaching you guys, given that you were, you know, you guys came as a group for the most part. So how did Cloud9, you know, jump in here? I mean, there are other teams like TSM. You know, maybe did TSM approach you guys? Did you know some other teams? Maybe talk about who are some of the other teams that approached you guys, and then why did you choose Cloud9?
Well, so to give you some more background on this, like, well, we formed Doggy House in when? Like, December? Jan was December, right?
Yes, before yes. EastGN, probably, yeah.
Yeah, before
it was actually before EastGN. That, even, yeah, it was yeah. that moment, yeah. probably.
And, like, having a roster of players, like, we didn't want to split, obviously, I mean, Savitz was vouched by Curse, mm-hmm. Which was a great loss for us, but then the team still stayed together with all the players, and Artosis and Nyx. Obviously, Nyx retired, so we were looking for opportunities, and people were approaching us. But, well, the thing is, like, we are working with GEM as well, GEM the agency, so yep. Global Esports Marketing. And we have...
Global Esports having, Marketing.
Yeah, and having this relationship, like, GEM was also looking for a team that can take us and work together with us, so... we were looking, and people were approaching, and in the end, like Cloud9 was really the team to go because the discussions were going great. We had some great discussions, same plans for the future, same view at the game, and what kind of team we'd like to build. So we decided to go. Like Cloud9 decided to take us, and we decided to agree also as like and go with Cloud9. So. It took some time, but if you really want to, like, this is a long-term relationship. It's not mm-hmm. it's not for 3 months. It's not, like, for a month. We want to have this team and be able to keep it and be here in Hearthstone for, like, a couple of years at least. So that's why we took our time as well with picking the teams and planning and building this the future. So mm-hmm. that's why we ended up with Cloud9, and I'm sure like everybody's super excited about it, as well as the Cloud9 management as well. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this.
How much input did you guys have on the other players, or did Cloud9 just have somebody in the Hearthstone space that was really really tuned in to know even who to pick up? Because it sounded like maybe you guys had some input into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question because Cloud9 was... when Cloud9 got interested in Hearthstone, mm-hmm. First was by talking to us. They did some research and they approached a couple of players that were discussing with them. Like, there were a couple of ideas as well, like maybe creating an EU team, an NA team. So we were... well, it took some time before we actually decided how we'd like to move forward, like what would be the best option for the players and for Cloud9 itself. Well, Hearthstone is a bit different than League of Legends, for example, because most of the events are in EU right now, and there is no need to split teams between like EU and NA. So we decided to go with one team, and we were also discussing like what would be the best number. Do we have to get like 3 players, 6 players, 7 players?
Mm-hmm.
There were some examples of like Magic the Gathering teams having a lot of players, a lot of deck builders, and then players who are active. And on the other hand, like we were thinking, how many players can we sustain for the longer period of time? So we like juggled the numbers, looked at what we have, what's the budget, and what's the future for us, and decided that 5 will be the perfect number for now.
Okay, so yeah, for now, do you guys think it's going to be continually more? Because 5 seems to be the right number for team events, right? I mean, at least the few team events that we've seen to date, 5 seems to be right at the exact number.
Yeah, there's always been like 4 players, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always hard to have at least one substitute player.
Yeah, exactly.
If one can't manage to play. So, yeah, I mean, we've had 5 players before on Doggy House, and now we have 5 players on Cloud9. So
yeah.
It's like a perfect number to have if there's team events coming up. But it also, like, it's actually good to keep the group not too big because there might be, I don't know, bad communication or something like
yeah.
that. Like, keeping a group smaller has its upsides for sure.
Mm-hmm. keep everybody on the same page, that sort of bit.
Yeah, definitely. Also, mm-hmm. like as a team captain, I wanted to have like less people because you can have easy communication between the group, and you really have like a structure instead of like if you have too many players, then you have different groups forming. Like especially when we are not living in a team house, we'll be living in our own houses. So then there is a huge possibility that NA players like keep to themselves more than EU players keep to themselves. Instead of like, you know, the more players we have, the more problems we have with managing the players and helping them grow. So so definitely 5 was the best number there.
Cool. Well, talking about Doggy House, you know, obviously Doggy House for the most part is getting picked up by Cloud9. There is one member of Doggy House that is missing, and Artosis is not on that list, right? So let's talk about that. Artosis has always been, you know, kind of half player, half caster, you know, half everything, I guess you could say. So is this kind of a step towards him not being as much of a player anymore, or why didn't Cloud9 pick up Artosis?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Artosis is he's pretty much the guy who just revealed us to the public, pretty much gave us this pushed us
exposure. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm, right.
And we because of the stuff he made for us, like because of the things he did for us, we pretty much made him the captain, pretty much as a leader figure, as a managing figure. Because he introduced us to so many people, and through all his connections, we were able to experience so much stuff, like Fight Night, like other tournaments as well. And Artosis was definitely the deciding factor to make Doghouse big, and that's why he was chosen to be our team captain. However, in recent days, Artosis has not been able to focus on Hearthstone as much as we would want him to do, and of course we don't blame him for our poor team performance in the Take TV Team League, for example, because we know Artosis is a busy man. He has a lot on his plate. He's a father, a husband. He's a caster, that's his main profession, mm-hmm. and. Yeah, he has a lot of stuff to do. So, naturally, Hearthstone is not, his top priority, which is fine. And we pretty much chose... We are still connected, and we still talk very often. Obviously, we are great friends. And, but professionally, we are... we chose to, mm-hmm. take different paths now.
I mean...
I can add to that. Chris. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, add to that.
Okay. So basically, as Jan said, Dan has a lot of activities in life. Like he's focusing on family. He's focusing on his StarCraft career, and also thinking about casting Carson. We are moving to be real professional gamers, focusing on Carson specifically. So we'll be testing a lot, practicing a lot, having group sessions, and a lot of team activities as well. Which takes a lot of time. It's like a job, basically. So definitely Dan doesn't have time for it right now, but maybe in the future we'll find way to connect with him again. I mean, we are still great friends, and we are still in contact, and we love Dan. Dan loves us. So I'm sure that we will be somewhere there, and I'm sure that we will see him casting events as well and playing in them, because he's a good player as well.
Still Doggy House for life, right? Even though you're on professional teams, still Doggy House exists. It's kind of like Liquid Valley, same thing. I mean, there's, you know, we still have a group. It's just not a team, right? It's just a group of people. So
in our hearts, Doggy House will always.
That's exist. Right, exactly. Okay, well, congratulations to you guys. I can't wait to see you guys competing, representing Cloud9, and what's in store in the future for you guys.
Yeah, hyped for the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's talk about some Naxxramas. Leaked cards.
Naxxramas.
Yes, leaked cards. So no official announcement today, which is the first. I don't think so. Let me just refresh Reddit just in case. There hasn't been any announcement today from Blizzard, right?
But a lot of unofficial stuff.
Yeah, so no official card release or anything like that, or just reveals today. But we did have some screenshots leaked earlier this week. and lots of good stuff too. Lots of bosses, lots of new cards. And here's the link, guys. Hearthpwn has a great link, so check it out here. And let's talk about it. And let me link it too, in case you guys don't have it. Link it there. But okay, let's take a look at these leaked photos, and we'll start talking about it. Trump, I kind of want to get your opinion on some of these photos first. Have you gotten a chance to look at it? Oops, let me change this real quick before I...
Oh, yes, I love looking at new stuff.
New stuff, awesome. Let me,
Isn't it spoiling the fun? Oh my god.
What's spoiling the fun?
Well, no, the bosses. And what? The mechanics before we play the actual adventure mode.
It's still going to be awesome. Like, it's going to be awesome when we get a chance to finally play it, even though we can discuss it now, right? It's not that bad, I don't think. So, Niv, are you saying you didn't look at it at all? You're just closing your eyes like, oh, don't spoil it for me.
Well, actually, I discussed it in detail yesterday.
I know, that's true.
But I'm so hyped that I can discuss it again.
Okay.
I love those cards.
All right, Trump, so what do you... Okay, first things first. What do you think about the bosses that you've seen?
Well, I was expecting them all to have, like, a different flavor to them, maybe different decks. One of the things I look at immediately is, like, well, it's on the first one, it's Patchwork, and he doesn't have playable cards. That's pretty cool. So, they all have their own flavor to them. I think it's going to be a really good adventure.
Any of the other bosses look really cool to you? Because there's Patchwork, which is right here. There's Max Ramo, which is a spider, right?
Maxena.
Oh, Maxena? I can't even read that. Maxena. Maxena is that, which is the big spider. And then Gothic? Is that... It's Gothic,
yeah,
right?
That's a little Gothic, blurry. Yeah.
Gothic, and then...
Lothib?
Yep, Lothib.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
You can see, actually, his hero power there, too. Deal damage, 3 damage to the enemy hero. Interesting. And there's one more, right?
Well, there's actually a lot.
There's a lot more, but I thought there was one more in this.
Not the Plaguebringer.
Yeah, not the Plaguebringer. Firulina.
Yeah, Firulina. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we have a lot of bosses that are not even shown here, but we know all of them because they will probably mirror exactly the raid from World of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this one that has Raze Dead, I think we're not sure which one that one is. That's kind of cool. Nimsh, what do you think? What do you think about these heroes?
Oh man, I'm excited. I'm really excited for this mode. The adventure mode is kind of similar to what we had in World of Warcraft TCG. We had something called Raids. So those were the multiplayer modes where you could fight the bosses. And the bosses, they used mechanics and cards that were unplayable for constructed play, but they were really, really exciting. So as Trump mentioned, Patchwork, no cards. He only has a weapon. So he's putting a clock on you. He will kill you in 8 turns. Also, the weapon has a death rattle.
Cool.
So you probably don't want to destroy the weapon because something bad will happen. And you probably want to kill Patchwork before the weapon is destroyed because something bad will happen again. He will enrage or something. Also, like, other bosses, pretty exciting. The Riders of Apocalypse, I think, like the Death Knights, the 1/7s, your hero is immune. You probably have to kill all of them to get to the boss, which has 7 life. Kel'Thuzad, like, oh man, there is so much to talk about. I mean, when they reveal everything, we'll have tons of content to produce on this adventure mode.
I know, it's going to be... the first week it comes out, it's going to be insane. Oh man, and it could be any day now. I mean, given that it's leaked like this, I feel like it could be any...
There is actually... suggested release date. It's the Gummy Bear Holiday or something. Did you hear about it?
No. No, what?
Okay, so right now people are freaking out about the release date and they're speculating everything. And apparently one of the Blizzard employees, Catalyst, had like a neutral post about having a snack on Nux release. And he posted a picture of a Gummy Bear pack. And people speculated that Nux will be released at the Gummy Bear Holiday something, which is 15th of June, I guess. Oh, July. 15th
July.
Of July.
Okay. So, all right. So that's 19. That's kind of a cute way to reveal it, if that's what they did. That's kind of cool.
I mean, people also speculated that it would be like June 20th for the 8th anniversary of Nux Ramos.
That would have been really cool. I wish that would have lined up. That would have been such
or
a...
Like 1st of August as well, because 1st of August is, if I'm not... it's... Wait. No, I think it's 1st of July. Well, it was a speculation where you release it, and it's Tuesday, so it's patch day. And then because the wings are being released like week by week, so every another week is a patch day, so it's mm-hmm. a perfect day to release on that day.
Oh, I see. All these speculations, man. But... given that it's, again, these photos have been leaked, I have a feeling it's very soon. So I guess it's before August. It has to be. I mean, what I would guess is July. If I was a betting man, I would bet in July right now. So it's going to be exciting. It's getting really, really anxious to see it. Let's talk about some of these cards that we see. One I mentioned, the Sir Zelek, the 1/7, the hero is immune. Yeah. 3 mana. What do you guys think of that? Actually, Ecop, what do you think of this card? I ask you first.
Well, I think, as far as I know, this is going to be a boss card, so it's not going to be like playable.
Not playable, constructed, okay.
Right, because it doesn't have a rarity symbol. That's my assumption,
true.
I guess.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, it technically wouldn't be that overpowered and constructed, but it would be like a better version of Mobushan Warden, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's essentially a taunt, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's actually a very valid point. Mm-hmm. I missed it before. So, like, if there is no rarity symbol, it's probably the card that's being used by a boss. And mm-hmm. if there is a rarity symbol, like on the other cards, then it's a playable card that will be given to us through the reward system.
Yeah, it could. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it could also be that some of those legendaries won't be playable. I'm not sure. I like, it's just a speculation. Everything, in the end, everything might be playable. Who knows?
Yeah. Trump, what do you think? Do you think this card's playable, or...?
No, absolutely not. Okay. It's going to definitely be only for the boss. And I expect a lot of bosses to have unique cards, and I look forward to seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
This card is OP, if it were a card. Which is basically what I expect for any boss card.
Boss cards, yeah. That's why they won't be playable. Okay, let's talk about... so there's two of them here. So we'll talk about the... Is it the Fugin and the Stalag card?
Yeah.
So these are two separate cards, right? That can combine, or they have some synergy between them too.
Yeah,
and they're both legendaries too, so kind of interesting how they are. And the death rattle is pretty cool, like they kind of summon each other if one of them's died, you know, previously in the game. That's cool mechanic. It's a brand new mechanic. We haven't seen synergy between two specific cards, you know, like they actually have text about specific cards, I think, in the past. So pretty cool. Trump, what do you think of this?
Great.
They actually don't summon each other. They summon a third card.
That's
not revealed yet, which might be like something completely overpowered.
Like, it's an 11/11.
I can give you some more background here, actually.
Okay,
so,
sure.
So basically, this encounter and Nakshamas looks like you enter the chamber, and mm-hmm. then you have Fugin on the, I think, left side, and Stalag on the right side, and in the end of the chamber there is the boss. The boss is called Thaddeus, and he's like a big Frankenstein dude standing there and doing nothing.
Okay.
And you advance with the raid, and you have to kill Fugin and Stalag at the same time. If you don't, they revive themselves. But if you kill them at the same time, then you have a couple of seconds to actually reach Thaddeus, because Thaddeus is standing still. And when you reach Thaddeus, after a couple of seconds, he actually starts to attack you, and there is the boss fight. So Thaddeus here is the big dude. He's the real deal. And as like Ico mentioned, he can be anything. Like, he can be a big like 11/11 dude. He can be a master hero, like Jaraxxus, mm-hmm. just replacing your hero. So it's kind of exciting to see what will happen here.
No, that sounds like an awesome adventure mode scenario there. So, but it kind of sounds like it might be specific to the adventure mode. It's kind of what you were getting at, Ecop, right? Just not, you don't know if these cards are actually going to be playable by. Construct from a constructed standpoint or not.
Exactly.
What do you think of this card? Do you think this card is
playable?
There's
a hint as well, actually, because mm-hmm. look at the picture with those guys. There is 1X. A finger on the treasure box.
Oh.
So it seems like a reward for the player to complete the wing.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
There is a times one by him, too, which is... You know, kind of indicative
you're right.
of possible
construction. You're actually right, Nimsh. I think they are actually going to be playable.
Okay, so I guess... Wow. I mean, you kind of have to play them in tandem, right?
Yeah, obviously you're going to play both. It's going to be hard to pull it off, right? Because you have to draw both and you can only have one of each in your deck. But yeah, once you get it, I think the reward is going to be insane.
Yeah. 4/7 vanilla. Yeah. That's not too bad, right, Trump? 4/7. Pretty good vanilla for 5.
Fine.
Yeah, right? All right. Let's talk about the other card that we have here, which is...
Oh, man. That's my card.
Kel'Thuzad. Kel'Thuzad, which is really blurry, but it's an 8-mana card. Same deal. You know, clicking on the treasure chest. It looks like it's a reward for completing at least one of the quarters here. And it says, at the end of the turn, summon all friendly minions that died that turn. That sounds crazy good. What do you guys think of that? Nips, what do you think?
Unleash the hounds, clear the board, then Kel'Thuzad away.
I mean, you can't do both, right? Unless you have the coin, I guess you could do both.
Yeah, I mean, I love the card. Kel'Thuzad is a lich, like he's the kind of like king of the undead, and the card is pretty powerful. I mean, when you create cards based on the lore heroes like Kel'Thuzad, Arthas, or like Thrall, whatever, or Illidan. You want to make Illidan is a bad example because the card is bad, but you want to make the card strong so that when people who love the lore, they play the card, they can feel like, hey, this is this guy from the lore, and he's really powerful. And when I will be playing Kel'Thuzad, I will have a feeling that, hey, he controls the dead. So I attack your minions with my minions, then play Kel'Thuzad, and my minions come back to life because he controls the dead. And next turn, you really have to kill Kel'Thuzad and those minions that just came to life, because if you don't, they will come to life again.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Even if you, like, revive only one minion that's, like, 4 cost or whatever, the Kel'Thuzad was worth it. Because the stats, the combined stats from Kel'Thuzad plus the minion that died, that traded something...
like Chilwin.
Yeah, like, yeah, for Chilwin. Example, imagine Yeti, right? Like, Yeti trading into something. Like, yeah, it's just going to be insane value.
Also, it seems like at the end of turn might trigger at the end of turn of your opponent as well. What do you think? Because the card text is at the end of turn, summon all friendly minions that die this turn.
I think it's the end of your turn, right? At the end of turn. It says at the end of the turn. Like, does it say the turn?
Oh, maybe it actually works on your turn. But still, it's really powerful there.
I'm pretty sure.
If you combine it with Reincarnate, the new shaman card, play.
Yeah.
Then turn 10, you play Kel'Thuzad. Then you reincarnate him so he dies. And then new Kel'Thuzad comes to play.
Back,
and then new Kel'Thuzad actually summons the old Kel'Thuzad that died that turn. So you get double.
Oh my god.
Is that how it's going to work? I guess it would work that way. Yeah, that's crazy. Is that... It depends on the sequencing there.
No, it's like the Kel'Thuzad is in play.
Yeah.
And there's an end of turn, and he summons all the minions that died. And Kel'Thuzad was a minion that died this turn, so he summons the Kel'Thuzad.
What does Reincarnate say again? Like, is it put a copy of the minion? Or what is it?
Reincarnate, let me look.
It was called Rebirth.
Yeah, it's called Rebirth. It's
they renamed it.
They renamed it Reincarnate. Yeah,
because with wordings like this, you actually really have to like implement the graveyard soon, because it's actually really confusing. Like, especially with cards like Kel'Thuzad.
The card text says Rebirth, destroy a minion, then return it to life with full health. So you destroy Kel'Thuzad.
So it's the same minion, right? So
yeah.
Technically, you would get like the same Kel'Thuzad that got destroyed out of your graveyard into play, right? So technically, you wouldn't have a Kel'Thuzad to summon back.
That's a good point.
To play, right?
So, that's true. If there is a graveyard, I mean, is that even...
Back in Alpha, there was supposed to be a graveyard, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's even a button there, right? We noticed the button.
Yeah, there's
there.
A button. So, I still think that eventually they are going to introduce the graveyard. And I was actually hoping it would be with Naxxramas.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's not going to happen. I don't know.
Trump, what do you think of this card?
Well, part of the reason why I haven't been exactly too enthusiastic about this entire part, as you can tell, is because it's all really it's not officially released from Blizzard, and like as it says in front, it might be inaccurate. So all this argument about the wording on how it works, I find to be like trivial. We have absolutely no idea. It'll probably be clarified, and if not, then I'll have to see the cards for itself. Kal'Thuzad, if you're asked, like, I think it's a pretty weak card. It's cool. Mm. It's very flavorful, but it's difficult to make use of an 8-mana card. Like, if we're talking about, we're going to look into the card's viability.
Mm-hmm. Just because it's purely a high mana cost issue for you? Like, if it was, like, a 6 in lower stats, would it be more viable? Or is that the biggest problem with this card for you?
Well, yeah, it's just too much mana.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I'd probably play this card over Ragnaros in my deck.
And I will probably add that it depends on the metagame. Because the metagame gets slower, or like it's slow in general, then 8 mana cards will be great. And if it's super fast, like it, turn 8 is just when you die. You probably won't have time
dead.
To play it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that, anyways, really exciting stuff. You get a chance to, you know, just, again, the more and more that we see of Naxxramas, I think looks more and more awesome. So can't wait for it to come out, and can't wait for to see some more things released, at least from Blizzard officially. That'd be cool if they did. But this week seems to be breaking the streak of, what, 9 straight weeks that they released something, I think, on Thursday morning. Or Wednesday, either Wednesday or Thursday. So I'm not sure what that means. But we'll have to speculate some more. All right, let's...
what I like about it is that I like the more broad scale of what it is. Like, there's normal and class challenges in Heroic, and one big thing was always wondering about whether or not everyone would just be on the same difficulty, but by making a Heroic mode, it makes it a bit more challenging for those who want to challenge, and I find that great. And I like the way that the class challenges are done. Like, rumor is the Hunter one with the web spinner is your entire deck is full of web spinners, and I find that to be a cool challenge. In order to earn your web spinner, you gotta play deck full of web spinners against a certain boss. Pretty cool.
As you can see with this the screenshot right here, where the 3 cards that you're mulliganing are all web spinners. It's pretty cool. Were you gonna say, Ekop?
Yeah, that would be hilarious. I mean, I'm looking forward to those challenges. Blizzard has some fun stuff prepared for us, I'm pretty sure of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, let's move on to... let's talk a little bit about current meta on the ladder right now. And we do this each and every week, so just a little bit of update. And want to see if you guys have been noticing anything on the ladder that's changed, particularly with, you know, maybe a deck that's getting popular, that sort of thing. Ekop, anything kind of changing for you on the ladder?
To be honest, I haven't been playing ladder as much recently.
Okay.
Because I've reached, like, after playing Token Druid a lot, I went on like an insane win streak and got number 3 EU, and now I'm sitting on my rank like the coward that I am.
And hey, just man, whatever, smart man.
I just wanted qualifier spots, so
yeah,
I'm just gonna sit it out. It looks good so far. At the moment, I think I am number 5, so things are looking good.
Cool.
And so therefore, I haven't been playing much Constructed. But I spectated a lot of people, and still a lot of Miracle, still a lot of Druid, and Zoo, Handlock, the usual stuff. Nothing new, really.
What do you guys think about the old Doggyhouse Freeze Mage coming back? Or starting to show its head with the Giants and everything?
Giants. Yeah, it's getting back. Like, people are trying it. I mean, myself, I haven't been playing a lot, but I was also watching the streams, and it seems like after the RDU winning DreamHack, Freeze Mage is getting back, so people are experimenting. So, it's a weird ladder deck. I mean, I've seen Colento getting rank 1 legend with it a couple of days ago on EU, but on EU, he didn't face any Warriors. Like, Warrior was non-existent, but then when he switched to NA, Warrior was kind of like a popular deck, so... It's actually different when you grind. Like, EU and ladder, and EU and NA have different setups of people. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, people adjust. The deck is evolving again, and it's in the metagame again. Not sure, like, if it's because the Hunter is less popular, or if it's just because it's like just a short popularity shift with regards to DreamHack. It's hard to tell, really. Like, the metagame will always fix itself really fast because it's really dynamic, so...
Yeah. I mean, we were starting to see Freeze Rage even before DreamHack. So,
I
think...
Obviously, you will not see any new decks because we don't have any new cards. Everything has been discovered already. I doubt that there will be anything.
I don't know about that. We always say that, and then all of a sudden, you know, some other kind of deck gets discovered. And
yeah, but that's like two cards different than the deck that existed before. Woohoo! Like, it's not, there's not much innovation at all. Like, everything has been played already, even though it might have not been competitive. But and for some reason, that deck that used to be shit now is a good deck. But yeah, it's everything is old right now. The thing is, though, that and this is like the important part that makes this game so awesome. The metagame is not stale; like it's always evolving. Not evolving, but it's always shifting. There's always like a metagame shift going on.
Mm-hmm.
So you will, even though you will see the same decks over and over again. If no new cards are introduced or if no cards are nerfed or buffed, you will still see those metagame shifts because the game is so well balanced and there are always like decks that counter the most popular deck, and therefore it like always shifts. The most popular deck always changes, and therefore the metagame shifts.
Right.
So that's actually a really cool part of our Hearthstone.
Yeah. Also, I mean, what's amazing is that most of the decks are playable. Actually, like I was leveling recently. From the, like, not the legend grind, but I was like around rank 5, and people are playing Shaman with Bloodlust, for example, or like there was a lot of aggro paladins who were really doing well and when winning against the top decks that are there. So also, like, most of the top players actually got to legend already, so the metagame where people are still trying to get to legend is totally different. And we obviously know all the examples of people that got their own deck and they pushed it to the legend. They got to the legend and then they post on Reddit like, "Hey, I used this control right? Hunter deck and got to legend. Like, check it out."
Yeah, true. Trump, you seem to disagree, I think, with the statement that all the decks have been discovered. You see, at least it seemed like you disagreed. What's your thoughts on the current meta and just, I guess, the statement that everything's been figured out?
Well, I actually started keeping track recently of stats, so I have a much better statistical grasp of what the meta is. Finally, it turns out that it's true, you can get a gut feeling enough that it's mostly Rogue, Warlock, and Druid. And as for the statement that all the decks have been discovered, while I was playing, I played against a few pretty edgy and innovative decks, and I think that some of them have a really good chance of being extremely good. So, I would say no to that statement.
Like what?
Well, as two examples, there's been some Warrior Pirate deck, which has been stirring things up, and there's also a mid-rangey Mage.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, but the point that I made is that it's nothing new. Like, those decks have been played before, even if not in a competitive setting.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you want to really get into it, then pretty much every deck has been played at some level, but the difference is making the jump into the competitive setting, I would say. Like, you can theorize that, okay, the Alarmobot deck has been made, but there's a big difference. I would consider a new deck if it actually were made viable for a competitive setting.
So you mean, like, Tier 4 deck becoming a Tier 2 deck, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I guess we all agree on that.
Yeah, hard to disagree there.
Yeah, so I mean, not too many things new this week. I mean, from week to week, I think leading up to maybe the last month, I mean, we saw lots of changes. Even if it was just like you said, Ecop just kind of recycling some of the older decks and that sort of thing, we were seeing rapid changes. But it's starting to slow down just a little bit. I think that's going to drastically change what Snacks comes out. It's going to be crazy, and I can't wait to see the events, the first events that happen whenever the Nax cards come out. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great to cast. Actually,
people will be trying all the weirdest ideas. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's the best part, man. That's the best part of games, when just crazy things are being tried. But okay, let's move on. A couple events are gonna be going on this weekend, guys, and one being the What's the official title? Millennium Invitational is.
I think it's Millennium Cup.
Millennium Cup. That's what it is.
Or M Millennium Cup. Yeah.
I think that's what it is, and that's going to be taking place in France. And Nimsh actually will be flying over there short in. I think today, right, or tomorrow.
I'm thinking of tomorrow. So in like I think 12 hours. Oh my god! In 12 hours, I'm actually going there.
And who's going to be competing in that?
Okay, so the people invited are Bess Marmot, one of the best French players, Gara, Amaz, Kungan, and I'm missing one player. I'm invited as well, and there is one more in Colento. So we have like 6 players who are invited and 2 players who qualified, and the players who qualified are the French players as well.
Yeah, I see the 2 French players. It's like Bess Marmotte.
Bess Marmotte was invited.
Bess Marmotte. So oh, okay. Bibermenian.
Yeah,
you can see. I think they're both from Romania. Is that right? I
don't. France.
No, France. Yeah. Actually, and okay, so that's going to make up a. I only see 7 names there. Okay, one. I guess one more will be a qualifier or.
I think he is actually announced. Torik.
Torik. Okay.
Yeah, that's. I think this Torlk, super hard to pronounce actually. T O R L K.
T O R L K. Okay, Torlk. That is pretty hard. Torque. No, it's not Torque, Ecop. It's not Torquey. But okay, it's gonna be €6,000 prize pool.
Yeah.
So it should be good stuff. When does it start? Do you know what time it starts on Saturday?
I have no idea. What's interesting about this tournament, apart from the prize pool, which is quite good, is the veto rule. So we can actually ban our opponent's decks. So the format is like...
nice.
We start in a group stage, and we'll be playing best of 3. Every one of us brings 3 decks, and then before the match starts, we announce our classes, and then we can pick which deck will be banned on our opponent's side.
Yeah.
So it creates a it's kind of weird, because then if you lose the first match, the first game, you have to pick the last deck you have because the other deck was banned. But on the other hand, it creates a lot of strategy coming into this tournament, because what do I want to ban? Like, do I always want to ban Rogue? Maybe I want to ban Druid, or maybe I want to create decks that are weak against Warrior, and if my opponent is playing Warrior, I will always ban Warrior. So right now I'm in the process of like trying to find the golden setup of my decks for this weekend's tournament.
Yeah. No, I like the vetoing concept into Hearthstone. Best of 3, it's a little rough, though, I have to say.
It's the group stage will be best of 3, and then we move to like double elimination best of 5, but I'm not sure.
It would be a lot better in a best of 5. That would be really cool. Trump, what do you think of that vetoing concept?
I think it's cool, and it's interesting how a lot of the tournaments have a different format set up, so you'd really have to do your research and plan out a good strategy going in, and it shakes things up. I think the ban system in particular is pretty good, and I think a lot of the classes are viable, so banning one's fine. I think I dislike the fact that you are forced into the remaining deck if you lose with your first one. Maybe perhaps better would have been you have 4 decks and one of them is better.
I agree.
I agree with that as well, yeah. That would be so much better.
Yeah. Ecop, what do you think? Veto. Like it?
I've actually always been a huge opponent of best of 3 format with 3 decks available, because it's huge. It favors the player who actually won the first game more, simply because he can counter whatever deck would beat him in game 2. So not having the choice forces the player to like just play 3 decks that are good against everything, not just pure counter decks. I think it just removes the a little bit more randomness, in my opinion. Not randomness. It removes the emphasis on game 1 pretty much. Like the game 1 is not such a deciding factor anymore as it was in that old format. I do agree that I would have preferred this whole veto format in a best of 5 as well. Like I think best of 5 with 4 decks available, one of them being banned, would be cooler. And there's what I like especially about this veto thing is also the mind games that play a huge factor in this whole thing. I mean, you will like try to snipe a deck that would counter one of your decks, but that deck might also get banned. So, like, there's going to be a lot of mind games going on. Like, just to have an edge, just to have, like, just to ban the right deck so that your two remaining decks that you expect that you will still have after your one deck gets banned. Those two decks, it's complicated, but yeah, that's how mind games are. So,
No, I really like it because even though the top players right now are pretty adept at multiple decks and classes, it forces you to do that, right? You can't just be this amazing miracle player, for instance, and just rely on that deck to, you know, win you a ton of games. You're going to have to be actually good at Druid and Warrior and, you know, lots of other different types of classes too. So definitely a cool concept, and hopefully we'll see it more in a non-best of three situation, or like what you said, just having them be able to bring more decks than the actual format, like the number that that you need just to win the series. But pretty cool. Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be good. The Millennium Cup probably starts earlier in the day, given that it's in Europe, so folks in NA, probably in the morning, I would assume, especially being on the West Coast. So check that out. It's not on Twitch, right? It's on a different platform?
I have no idea. I think it's not on Twitch. I think it will be streamed somewhere else.
Okay. We'll have to look for it. Yeah.
There's actually a channel. Yeah, there's like a millennium.org site, and they have a stream there. So I guess it will be streamed on their own site.
Okay, very cool. Also on this weekend, guys, is going to be the wellplayed.org invitational, let me put this here. And Trump will be playing in it, and I will be casting it with Frodan. And there's 8 invited players, 3,000 USD prize pool. It's going to be a best of 5 double elimination. So it's going to be 3 days. It starts tomorrow. Well, I think we'll do all the first round tomorrow, and then Saturday and Sunday will be just, you know, the remaining matches, and the finals will be, is it a best of 5? It might actually be a best of 5, too. I'm not sure if it's a best of 7. But Trump, how are you feeling going into this tournament?
Well, I'm up against a pretty tough first opponent, Thais, and there's a lot of tough guys there, but I will do my best.
Yeah, definitely a tough group of guys. Trump, Dark Onyx, Reynad, RDU. Oh my god, Reynad, RDU happens. Look out! Tides, Thais, and I forget the 2 more players here. Gosh, it's not actually officially on here. They've announced it, I believe, but I just...
You sure? I haven't heard about them announcing
the last
2 players.
Let me see the last
2
players. I could have sworn they announced it.
Yeah, Kit Kats and someone.
There you go, yeah. Kit Kats and...
Who is someone? Someone is playing Hearthstone as well?
Yeah. Someone's that star Hearthstone player. Well, we'll find out soon. If not right now, you can check it out tomorrow. It starts at 2.
Show.
Oh, it is show?
Yep.
Okay, so show is going to be it. European player. Awesome. And you can check it out tomorrow, guys. I think it starts at 2 p.m. Eastern. So and it's going to be on Twitch, so be sure to watch that too. Should be fun. Can't wait to cast with Frodan. It's always a lot of fun casting with Dan. So 2 big events this weekend, guys. I don't know what's going on the weekend after, but seems to be a lot of events popping up here and there, and a lot more coming in the near future. So look for that. All right. Well, let's move on. For those of you that are, you know, watching right now, be sure to have your questions ready. We're going to be doing Q&A in just 1 second, but I wanted to bring something up. A little bit of something that we could hash out here on the show, but E-Cup, you were on Amaz's stream recently.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, my God. Oh, here we go, here we go, here we go. And you had a few things to say about our friend Trump here. And they did have something to do with, you know, saying that Trump's in, you know, doing Hearthstone for the money, or, you know, statements like that. So you want to elaborate on that some, because I know Trump wants to comment on that.
Yeah, but I don't really care what Trump is going to comment on that.
Oh, okay.
I have my opinion about Trump, and I'm not going to change it unless Trump changes.
Okay, Trump, your thoughts on this?
And unless I change what?
Oh man, it just got all uncomfortable and shit.
I'm not.
Why did you push them into that direction?
Exactly. Like, everyone knows my opinion about Trump. I think Trump is like a greedy bastard. Only cares about money and nothing else. So,
Trevor, you want to address that? I mean, we wanted to talk about it on the show. So, I know you wanted to address it. So, do you want to address it at all?
I don't know what I can do to change your mind on it, but I can confirm that that is not true.
Why do you think he's a greedy bastard? I don't quite understand it.
I am instantly convinced.
Okay, all right. Well, that's... Anyways, okay, it's obviously kind of uncomfortable here, so I think we'll skip over. We can deal with this offline. So let's do some Q&A here. That was...
I thought you would talk about that other Hamas stuff that happened today.
What? Which was? Oh, the Ragnaros thing? The Ragnaros thing?
Yeah, like... That was stuff that you can actually talk about.
I don't even know why you would bet Amaz that.
Why would you bring drama to Value Town? Come on.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, this is Trump's here and you're here, so we just address, like, you know, obviously that statement, since it was such a strong statement, and I don't agree with it either, so I figured we would talk about it a little bit. But anyways, I don't think anybody wants to talk about it now, so...
I will say that it does... Like, your statements do make people hurt inside, since we Hearthstoners, and especially those of us who have played together, especially live, I think that we've kind of formed bonds, and, like, I there are a lot of Hearthstone people who I've met in tournaments who I consider, like, good friends, and I'd love to see them again. It's just, it is hurtful to hear that, and it does make me a bit sad.
Yeah, well, not everyone can like you. And I am one of those people that don't like you, so deal with it.
Okay. All right, so let's move on to some Q&A here. And for those of you that are watching in... God, Teddy Bear. Teddy can soul Trump. All right, let's see if we can get some Q&A here going. Any questions you guys have, we'll answer real quick. Definitely type it in stream chat if you can. Is that the same Murgle from DreamHack?
Yeah, Nimsh? Definitely. That's LME, the little Murkai. An adventurous Murloc that actually will make it to France as well.
Nice.
He will be there.
Alright, freaking chat's going too fast. How about this? Why don't you guys tweet me a question? This is not working. Tweet me at ChamMB. And we'll take questions that way. But let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, and so that we can get some questions in before we go. All right, guys, we are back, and we're going to do some Q&A. Thanks for tweeting a bunch of questions here. And we'll start off by asking some of these good ones here. All right, it says, where is it? All right, well... Hearthstone calendar, he asks, any interest in a centralized calendar of Hearthstone tournaments? Is there one that you already like? What do you think about that? Do you think there should be like a centralized Hearthstone calendar so that event organizers can all, I guess, be coordinated and not overlap like this weekend that we're seeing? Nimps, you seem to be shaking your head, yes?
Yes, definitely there should be a calendar. One place where we can go and see all the tournaments listed. And where people can actually add tournaments by themselves. So when you... a lot of players, they are just not aware about the tournaments. Like, I have a lot of friends who play Hearthstone. They're like, they hit Legend and they ask me, okay, I hit Legend, now I can play the tournaments. Where do I look? And like, there's a lot of tournaments that are being hyped by Blizzard or like on Reddit as well. Mm-hmm. There was MLG, now there is ESL and Zodak. But players just don't know where to look. And like, we are on those sites... Oh my god, what's going on outside?
The Russians are coming.
Yeah, it's weird. So there is like a lot of sites that we go on daily basis, but those players who just play the game, they don't know about it. So it would be good to have this one calendar where you can always go every day and check what's going on. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff going on, so definitely, yeah.
Okay, Peanut. Go ahead.
Wait a second. To the question, like, isn't there like Liquid Heart? I thought they have it already.
I mean, there's a
tournaments and like they have the calendar, right?
They do, but that calendar is more like day to day type of thing, more so than, you know, somebody that's organizing something months in advance. You know, maybe like even like a month in advance, and you don't want to overlap with somebody that already has something planned. A lot of times, people put entries onto like Liquid Hearth calendar or even like other sites like IRVU or Hearthpoint, you know, whichever site that you're talking about. They don't usually do it until maybe a day or two or a couple days, you know, a few days before. So I think this would be more like, you know, just there's this global calendar that all event organizers can use as a reference, not to schedule an event on this weekend because somebody already has it, you know, type of thing.
Well, to be fair, many tournaments are not set in stone until days earlier.
Several days earlier? Oh, that's not great. It's not set for several days earlier. But, yeah, in general, I guess my comment is that, yeah, I think that would be a great idea for sure. Okay, next up, Peanut Slayer asks, he says that Raynad said on his stream that Priest will be one of the top or even best class after Naxx. What are your thoughts on it? Trump, do you have any thoughts on Priest being better in Naxx from what you've seen so far?
Well, obviously they're getting a really good card, 3/4 for 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that'll make them the best. It's really hard to make that prediction.
Yeah. I mean, just saying the best is definitely really tough and hard to even distinguish right now. Any of you guys think that Priest is going to have a huge jump?
I think like because there's huge focus on Death Rattle, mm-hmm. and Priest has this one thing called Silence, I kill you. So like mass silence, and silence is all the Death Rattle effects. But I agree that it's hard to say that the Priest will be the best class. I mean, Shaman also looks pretty good with Urshock, mm-hmm. being one of the the best silence spell in the game. So one mana silence class ability. Or you also can add those mediocre silence card like Iron Beak and Spellbreaker.
Yeah.
Will make Shaman a really powerful, important class.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Ecop. Joe Adeshito, I'll ask you this one. Or Spooks Magook Grooks. What is your opinion on the difference between NA and EU meta? Do you think it's hard to adjust from one to the other for a player?
In my opinion, NA, it's easier to ladder on NA, first of all. Obviously, shots fired right again. But yeah, it's true. I mean, you can ask any pro, and like almost everyone will say the same thing. It's harder to ladder on EU, simply because there's just way more players on EU, as far as I know, and therefore also more pros. So, therefore it's harder to ladder on EU, because... you will face more pros in the higher ranks. So, yeah, that's like the main factor.
Okay.
So, I mean, as far as meta games are concerned, I have no idea because I've never been playing on NA. And, so I cannot give any information on that.
Trump, Nymph, you guys play on both pretty regularly. I think, Trump, you do, right? Or you've played at least some every season on EU at some point.
Not so much.
Not so much? Okay.
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, I think. But I think the earlier statement that maybe there's not so many warriors at EU, so Frostmage is really good there, as an example, might be one difference. You just got to adapt.
Right. Nymph?
I think like there is a huge difference with the player base, because when you're playing on an A, the metagame seems more streamlined because NA people mostly read NA stuff and like stuff in English, so... if there is something really popular in general, they will try to pick it up and try to net deck. Obviously, there are those groups of people like clans and guilds and like teams who try to devise their own decks or counter the metagame. But in general, the general population will get all the English stuff. And in Europe, you have all those local countries that are closed. And for example, if there is a new deck in France and everybody in France is playing it, it's on the French forums and the other countries don't know about it. So the French players are bringing that deck and like distort the metagame. And it's true for all the other countries. Like there's much less communication because they're using their foreign languages to communicate internally within a country. And they're bringing all those things into the metagame. So I'd say that in general, they are similar. EU and NA, as Tron mentioned, like this warrior difference. But in the broader perspective, and also like when Nax Ramos is released, when we have more diversity with the card pool, there will be a difference because of those local differences with regards to countries and their like foreign closed environments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm Chilled asks, do you feel that Hearthstone can will ever be as popular as something like League of Legends?
Yes.
Certainly okay. Hope so.
Yikot thinks yes, pretty definitively. Trump, what do you think?
I'd stick with Nimshes, I hope so. It's difficult to imagine since League of Legends is so big. And it's not that Hearthstone isn't going to be big. It is really big, but will it be as big as League of Legends, which has years of history and huge teams and a really big fan base? Like, will anything ever be as big? So that's where I stand. I think Hearthstone is really big.
I think give it time. I mean, you should just give it time because Hearthstone officially is out since April, right? So it's absolutely March, still a brand new game, and it has already had a much higher initial growth than League of Legends had in its when it was new.
And League of Legends took years before it actually started going.
And League of Legends was actually struggling for in the early stages. Riot Games actually thought about selling League of Legends franchise to a different gaming publisher or developer or whatever, I don't even know. So Hearthstone won't have those same problems. Hearthstone already had its huge growth at the start, and it will just get exponentially higher because the business model is basically the same as League of Legends has, the free-to-play but pay-to-win pretty much, right? And also like it has just wider accessibility because of the mobile platforms like iPad and soon Android and iPhone probably, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to be like an insane boost to the popularity. So in my opinion, give it a couple of years, but it will eventually become more popular than League of Legends.
Well, I think the game, like, if you're just asking, like, it's going to be more popular, I think the game itself is going to have more users than League of Legends eventually, just because, purely because of the mobile, the client. And once it gets on phones, there's a ton more people using phones than PCs, guys. So I think it's going to be, it'll probably cross that threshold sometime in the future.
I think it's like, I think it's like a kind of a broader question.
As an esport, it's different. I mean,
yeah, and also like we're talking about the gaming going more mobile. So like,
mm-hmm.
If gaming goes mobile, then Hearthstone will go with that shift of the platform change, kind of. So
yeah, so it's kind of a different thing. Like just again, whether the esports is going to be as big as League of Legends. Obviously, League of Legends is the biggest esport and is like going into undiscovered territory and breaking new ground, I guess, from the standpoint of esports every day right now. So, we'll see if that happens. I think that's definitely a wait and see. But I think there's no doubt that Hearthstone will have more users worldwide eventually, like more than League of Legends, just purely because of the client. All right, let's see.
Wait, can I pick a question?
Yeah, sure. Anything.
All right. So I didn't want to leave the ECOP and my thing at that.
Okay,
of all
sure.
people, Akov actually has a reason to dislike me. And, you know, props to him for not bringing it up and giving his side of it, because his side could be significantly more anti-me than the version I'm going to give right now. One of the reasons that I would draw Akov's ire is because of the Tavern Takeover match where I was up 1-0, and then Ekop played a probably Warrior against me, and I think he was in a... I was playing Warrior, but he was playing against me, and he was in a position where it certainly looked like he was very favored to win, and then he disconnected. So, as per the rules of the tournament, he was going to get a game loss, and I took it. I don't think the match was 100% decided, but he looked to be in the favored place, and I'm sure if he were like looking at the board, he'd be like, oh man, I was 100% to win. But given my hand, I didn't think he was. So that's some backstory.
I can add to that you always had a history. I mean, Akov has had a history against you, so that tavern takeover probably like pushed it over the edge. I don't know. Like, that's my opinion. If there was a history
before that, then I thought it was just for showmanship. But
might have been. It's kind of weird for me, actually, to comment on that. I mean, I'm a friend of both of you guys, so...
Let's just move on. Let's move on. That was definitely, so I think a segment that we should not have done. I mean, it just obviously. And apologize for both you guys for even having that segment actually on the show, and all the viewers too. Probably should not have done it. So it's a mistake on my part. Okay, let's get on to. Do you think the rewards for Nax Adventure Mode will be disenchantable?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably a fair assessment.
I mean, it's free cards pretty much, so why would you...
Yeah, I mean, there's no point, right? Yeah. Unless you wanted, if you're on a budget and you want a different card. Maybe, but how else are you going to get it again? I guess you could...
Yeah. I mean, if you disenchanted, you could technically, get it again by winning this whole thing again, but then it would be, generating money for... not money, but generating dust for free, pretty much, right?
Yeah, totally. Let's see. Dradic here asked, do you think having team battles like 2v2 or 3v3 as a playable game mode would be balanceable, and how so? Wow, that would be pretty
interesting. This is actually a feature that I'm really hoping will come to life. 2v2 or 3v3, even generally multiplayer. Just to give it also more of a World of Warcraft feel. With, for example, those arena battles, those 3v3 arenas or whatever, it is doable. It's the way Hearthstone is designed. It's really good. You do your stuff on your own turn. You just do your plays and then wait for your opponent to do all his plays. The game flow of Hearthstone is compared to other card games, it's really good for an online platform, and just adding a couple of more players to a game is not such a big deal, in my opinion. I'm sure you wait a little bit longer for your turn, but I mean, it doesn't really matter all that much, and I just think it adds more excitement, more strategy, more fun to the games, and I really hope that they will do it in the future, but it's probably going to be in the far future if they're going to do it.
Okay. Let's see. Maybe one more. Let's see. So many of them, actually.
I wanted to comment on 2v2, but like...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so I was searching. I mean, the wording, of course, is in the game is kind of supporting this thought about having 2v2, at least, friendly minions, so that your minions and your friends' minions are friendly minions that can be affected by spells. Also, there was a player who made an interface for two players, 2v2, how it can look like with two heroes next to each other. And in Magic the Gathering and World of Warcraft TCG, 2v2 was a mode that was used in some kind of fun tournament set. It was pretty enjoyable, so... Definitely. I also support the idea.
Okay, let's see. I'm trying to read some of these that we haven't gone over. There's a lot of them that we've just gone over during the show. And maybe one more here. Where's one more? Okay, so there's a question about, I guess, this weekend. Is there any decks that... I guess, are there any new decks that you're going to be bringing to the tournaments? Or is there any surprise decks that you're... that maybe you're anticipating. It's kind of how do you anticipate surprise, but are there any kind of interesting new decks that you've been hearing about?
Right now, or with the next Nimsh?
Or just going into this weekend, just going into the event.
Okay, so obviously it's hard to tell the viewers right now if I'm bringing any surprises, because it might give my opponents hints. But I definitely expect surprises every tournament, because tournaments are more about, like, on ladder, you go with consistency. You have to be really consistent with the deck. Yep. The deck has to work against everything, more or less. And in tournaments, you can use some wacky stuff like Elite Torrent Chieftain, or like Aggro Paladin, maybe. It's possible to bring a deck that will actually confuse your opponent and be good against a certain pool of decks. And especially with the Vita rule, it's possible to get a deck. Just get a deck that will actually work. Oh my god, what is going on outside?
You got the cops coming to get you.
Yeah,
man.
I apologize for that. So anyway, I definitely expect different new decks for the tournament format, especially if there is a twist like a Vita rule.
Okay. Trump? You?
Well, especially in a tournament where you can ban out one of your opponent's classes, I fully expect there to be a potential to bring something abusive, because to some extent, some classes keep the other ones down. So if you can remove one, that could be huge. So I don't think there'll be any new decks. Like, I think that's unlikely, but... Mm-hmm. I think it's likely to see some very focused decks, which might take favor, which might not have been bringable to a normal tournament because some decks counter it too hard, or some very popular decks are good against it. And that's pretty good. In terms of the tournament I'm in, I don't expect any surprises. Like, I expect pretty standard play and pretty standard decks.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that's going to be it for questions today, guys. So we'll probably we'll wrap things up and call it an episode. But Ecop Nimsh, thanks for coming on. And again, congratulations on the huge announcement today, and hopefully some great things to see. Can't wait to see you guys sporting the colors this weekend, or at least Nimsh seeing you sporting the new colors this weekend. But you want to do some shout-outs and thank-yous right now, Nimsh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So giving a shout-out to all the sponsors and to Cloud9. The sponsors are HyperX, Logitech, Air Force Reserve, Alienware, LolClass, Need for Seed, Homejoy, and SideQuick. Special thanks to LolClass and HyperX. So also, big shout-out to Arthouses, who is no longer our teammate, but he will be always remembered as the greatest teammate that there is. And shout out to all the viewers and to all the fans. Like, I hope that I will do good in the tournament in France. So at least that I will bring something interesting to the tournament. So yeah, that's it.
So he did all the sponsor shout outs for you, Ecom. So that's really nice of him. You want to do some shout outs? Other shout outs? Thank you.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to do some of those shout outs. Shout outs to shout outs to my teammates, my new teammate Hafu. Shout out to Forsen and Amaz, who I've joined on their Twitch streams several times for commentary, and it was fun, especially with Amaz today. And also shout out to our agent Toby, who did a phenomenal job throughout the whole time we've been signed with him. So he's always been fighting for us, trying to get the best deals anywhere, like Gadgets and Auctioneer, and that's what he did in the end. So thanks to Toby.
Okay, great. Trump, you want to do some shout-outs?
Yeah, I'll just do the same shout-out to all the new Cloud9 members. Congratulations on getting picked up, and congratulations on your skill being recognized. Nimsh, Hafu, Strafcrow, Plento, and Ecom. You deserve it.
Awesome. And I'll reiterate that too. That's amazing news for you guys, and guys that friends with, and hopefully you guys will be able to elevate that even more together, working as a team and just practicing and all that good stuff. But all the viewers, thanks for tuning in today. The VODs will be up on youtube.com/ChainManV a little bit later. Follow the channel if you enjoy this show or any of the other shows I do each and every week. And you follow on Twitter too. If you, I always announce shows, who's going to be on, all that stuff on Twitter anytime that happens. But check out, definitely tune in to the wellplay.org event tomorrow, and then again, of course, the Millennium Watch Nimsh this weekend on Saturday also, Saturday and Sunday also. But that's going to be it for Value Town, guys. So for Nimsh, Ecop, Trump, and myself, Chan Man V, we'll see you next time. Later.
Bye-bye.